Deep in the snow, in the middle of a wind-swept moorland, a small band of travelling librarians sat around their cooling stove and wondered what to burn next. Tiffany had never been able to find out much about the librarians. They were a bit like the wandering priests and teachers who went even into the smallest, loneliest villages to deliver those things, prayers, medicine, facts, that people could do without for weeks at a time, but sometimes needed a lot of all at once. The librarians would loan you a book for a penny, although they often would take food or good second-hand clothes. If you gave them a book, you got 10 free loans. Sometimes you'd see two or three of their wagons parked in some clearing and could smell the glues they boiled up to repair the oldest books. Some of the books they loaned were so old that the printing had been worn grey by the pressure of people's eyeballs reading it. The librarians were mysterious. It was said they could tell what book you needed just by looking at you, and they could take your voice away with a word. But here they were searching the shelves for T.H. Mouseholder's famous book, Survival in the Snow. Things were getting desperate. The oxen that pulled the wagon had broken their tethers and run off in the blizzard. The stove was nearly out, and worst of all, they were down to their last candles, which meant that soon they would not be able to read books. It says here, in K. Pierpoint Poundsworth's Among the Snow Weasels, that the members of the ill-fated expedition to Whale Bay survived by making soup of their own toes, said Deputy Librarian Grizzler. That's interesting, said Senior Librarian Swinsley, who was rummaging on the shelf below. Is there a recipe? No, but there may be something in Superflua Raven's book Cooking in Dire Straits. That's where we got yesterday's recipe for nourishing boiled socks surprise. There was a thunderous knocking at the door. It was a two-part door that allowed only the top half to be opened, so that a ledge on the bottom half could be a sort of small desk for stamping books. Snow came through the crack as the knocking continued. I hope that's not the wolves again, said Mr. Grizzler. I got no sleep at all last night. Do they knock? We could check in The Habits of Wolves by Captain W. E. Lightly, said Senior Librarian Swinsley. Or perhaps you could just open the door. Quickly, the candles are going out. Grizzler opened the top half of the door. There was a tall figure on the steps, hard to see in the fitful, cloud-strained moonlight. I'm looking for romance, it rumbled. The deputy librarian thought for a moment and then said, Isn't it a bit chilly out there? Aren't you the people with all them books? The figure demanded. Yes, indeed. Oh, romance. Yes, certainly, said Mr. Swinsley, looking relieved. In that case, I think you'll want Miss Jenkins. Forward, please, Miss Jenkins. It looks like yous is freezing in there, said the figure. Them's icicles hanging from the ceiling. Yes. However, we have managed to keep them off the books, said Mr. Swinsley. Ah, Miss Jenkins, the gentleman is looking for romance. Your department, I think? Yes, sir, said Miss Jenkins. What kind of romance were you looking for? Oh, one with a cover on, you can, and with pages, with all words on them, said the figure. Miss Jenkins, who was used to this sort of thing, disappeared into the gloom at the other end of the wagon. This scanner's a total loonies, said a new voice. It appeared to come from somewhere on the person of the dark book borrower, but much lower than the head. Pardon? Said Mr. Swinsley. Ach, no problemo, said the figure quickly. I'm suffering from a grumbling knee. 'Tis an old trouble. Why don't they be burning all dem books, eh? The unseen knee grumbled. Sorry about this. You know how knees can let a man doon in public. I'm a martyr to this one, said the stranger. Ah, I know how it is. My elbow acts up in wet weather, said Mr. Swinsley. There was some sort of fight going on in the nether regions of the stranger, who was shaking like a puppet. That will be one penny, Miss Jenkins said, and I will need your name and address. The dark figure shuddered. Oh, we ne'er give out our name and address, it said quickly. It is against your religion, you ken. I dinna want to be a knee about this, but why is you all here freezing to death? Oxen wandered off, and alas, the snow's too deep to walk through, said Mr. Swinsley. Aye, but yous have got a stove and all them dry old books, said the dark figure. Yes, we know, said the librarian, looking puzzled. There was the kind of wretched pause you get when two people aren't going to understand each other's point of view at all. Then, tell you what, me and Mani will go and fetch your cows for you, eh? Said the mysterious figure. Got to be worth a penny, eh? Big Yan, you'll feel the rough side of my hand in a minute. The figure dropped out of sight. Snow flew up in the moonlight. For a moment it sounded as if a scuffle were going on, and then a sound like crivens disappearing into the distance. The librarians were about to shut the door when they heard the terrified bellows of the oxen getting louder very quickly. Two curling waves of snow came across the glittering moors. The creatures rode them like surfers yelling at the moon. The snow settled down a few feet away from the wagon. There was a blue and red blur in the air, and the romantic book was whisked away. But what was really odd, the librarians agreed, was that when the oxen had come speeding toward them, they had appeared to be travelling backward.